You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and may not represent the views of anyone else that is involved with Free Radio Olympia in any manner. And so, with that caveat established, welcome to the Thunderbolt for Christmas Day 2020. This week's show is anything but merry, though, as I'll be replaying a show that originally aired during the 2016 presidential election, wherein I predicted exactly what did indeed subsequently happen. And this week's show is so stuffed full of thunderbolts that we need to get right down to business here. And so...
countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1...
hey kids, welcome to the Thunderbolt for June 17th 2016. Now I want to start this week's show off with some good news. There has emerged a possible counter tactic to drones. Yes, some folks at a Russian Middle Ages festival were engaged in a reenactment when one of the reenactors noticed a drone hovering overhead, filming them. Whereupon the reenactor took it out of the sky with a frigging spear. No say. You can watch it on YouTube. ISIS has already expressed interest in this cutting-edge technology. Next, I am most happy to announce that you can now soften your skin with the CIA. Now, as Thunderbolt listeners know, the CIA's budget is a state secret. What Thunderbolt listeners also know is that this doesn't really matter all that much, because the funding they receive from their secret government black budget represents only a tiny fraction of their total income. For like the Postal Service, the CIA is largely self-funded. And as to the method of that funding, I constantly have new listeners, and thus I often feel the need to revisit previous themes. So for the sake of you newbies, it is a thoroughly documented and easily verifiable fact that the CIA is the largest drug-dealing organization on the planet. You also need to keep in mind that all of this is in the context of the fact that illicit drugs represents a $2 trillion with a G per year industry. And thus it not only represents the biggest and the most profitable business on the entire world, but the proceeds from the illicit drug trade are under the table, untraceable, untaxed, secret dollars, which makes them much more valuable in some ways than normal on-the-books, tax-on-the-record dollars. So what this means is that the CIA is a central player in the most profitable business on the planet. And if you think the government allocation is a state secret, I dare anyone to try to look into the CIA's books for their drug-dealing operations. But it turns out that selling heroin is far from the only outside source of income for our intrepid spy agency. And it turns out that those busy little beavers over to the Spook Factory are multitaskers when it comes to generating illicit cash flows. For it turns out that a company called InQtel, InQtel, is very concerned about your skin texture.
and about unsightly skin blemishes. Now, this may seem unexceptional until you realize that NQTEL is the venture capital arm of the CIA. Yes, I just said the venture capital arm of the CIA. For you see, it turns out that NQTEL is investing in Skin Central Sciences. That's SKINCENTIAL. Now, Skin Central has developed a special patented technology to create a pen-like device to rub against the skin that removes a thin upper layer of skin in a painless manner. Now, this method can be used for diagnostic or medical purposes, such as the early detection of melanoma, for instance. But it can also be used for collecting DNA for potential identification purposes or for other less honorable purposes. And as Skin Central realized that their technology had cosmetic value, in addition to its less honorable virtues, the public-facing side of Skin Central developed a commercial product line called Clearista. C-L-E-A-R-I-S-T-A. And you can find Clearista advertised on social media, YouTube, and in O Magazine, amongst many other places. Soften your skin with the CIA. What will they think of next?
I often refer to the machine as a metaphor for the combined institutions that attempt to control our world. Well, it turns out that literal machines may literally be about to take over our world. Well, that may sound like the opening line to a science fiction story, but there are some truly epic bedoodlies happening in techno world these days. And humanity, and
hooray!
Humanity's machines are about to gain truly epic, almost godlike powers. The problem with that is that I am convinced humanity needs to do some very serious growing up very quickly before being allowed to play with such toys. Lest we unleash some truly epic cataclysms of truly epic proportions.
Machines, machines, they keep right on going. Machines, machines, they keep right on going. But I am weak. What I want to go on home. I'm too tired to speak. But they won't let me.
Already know how to code DNA to store information, which means they can now store a nearly infinite amount of information in a container that they can literally fit under their fingernail.
Machines.
They can already build machines that can both think and reproduce, just like humans. In addition to that, quantum computing is coming, and that is going to make our current computers
machines
seem Stone Age
machines
in comparison.
Need them to serve us. Machines, machines, we built them to serve us. But till the day when I'm buried in my grave, yes, right until that day, I know I'm gonna be a slave, a slave, a slave, a slave to the machines. Machines, they keep right on winning. Machines, machines, they keep right on.
Quantum computing will give computers nearly infinite computing power in addition to much more reasoning power, and it is conjectured that quantum computers will even have the ability to harbor intuitive attributes, just like humans. Once our machines gain the ability to reason, and thus question, combined with the ability to reproduce, so think about that for a minute. The Thunderbolt now wishes to indulge in pushing a metaphorical envelope well into the overstuffed phase by stating this. Sometimes our world resembles a wounded bassoon, wandering bewildered, woefully wondering what the Willy Wonka is going on around here. Then, sometimes an evil clarinet will sense weakness and vulnerability, and it will begin stalking the bassoon. Just as the bassoon manages to find her beat and get on her feet once again, she's assaulted from the rear by a muted coronet. Well, kids, these are the kind of things that happen to activists when they start making waves. Now, note that I have spoken extensively in the past about how the 1% uses philanthropic foundations and NGOs to control and manipulate us. Well, I just learned of another example of this tactic that affects me personally. For it turns out that Occupy Wall Street was partially funded by Adbusters. It turns out that Adbusters was partially funded by the Tides Foundation. It turns out that the Tides Foundation's $90 million budget is partially provided by the likes of the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and George Soros. Which just proves that old adage, if you can't beat them, then just buy them. Or, perhaps, you can get them to shoot each other in a circular firing squad. Up until recently, I had a regular Real Change customer, and every week she would stop by and chat about world events for a minute whilst purchasing her newspaper. Then, one day, she informed me that there was a gun control rally happening at the state capitol. Whereupon, I informed her that that was one issue wherein I was on the other side. Now, this news very obviously shocked and upset her, and ever since that day, she has wordlessly walked by me without purchasing a newspaper and with barely a cursory greeting, if that. Big news flash here, kids. I am not the enemy. In addition, infighting is counterproductive and stupid. If you are going to refuse to work with people unless they 100% agree with you on every single issue, then I think that you are likely to find yourself quite isolated in the end. We need to stop pointing our fingers at each other and start pointing them at the enemy, kids. So, moving right along now, let's talk next about that farcical charade that is generally referred to as an election. Yippee! Because the race is on! Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the head of the DNC, and thus she is a Wall Street shill to her core. Wasserman Schultz recently gave an interview wherein she literally looked down her nose as she condemned Bernie Sanders' refusal to just quietly go along with the DNC's underhanded railroading of Mr. Sanders' presidential chances. And for those of you who think the grandfatherly Bernie is too nice a guy to play hardball politics, well, Bernie Sanders has just announced that he will be supporting a Democratic challenger, a law professor and an ex-Occupy activist named Tim Canova, for Mrs. Schultz's Florida House seat in the next election. Ha-ha! So, gee, Bernie, do you think you could maybe take out Dianne Feinstein while you're at it? Now, as you watch all of these endless hours of breathless coverage of our quadricentennial horse race for president, and as you contemplate the endless debate and the recriminations and angst, and as you peruse all of the vicious name-calling on face crack that goes on as a result of this election, keep in mind that this is all happening in the context of the fact that we have an elephant in our presidential election booth. That elephant consisting of the fact that our presidential elections these days are being determined by a small handful of rigged voting machines in a small handful of key states. Consider this. Almost everywhere in the world, exit polls are the gold standard. In many countries, if the exit polls are more than 2% off, then there are often riots and protests because the people know that there is election fraud happening. Now, the lone exception to this rule is the United States, where our exit polls are often up to 15% off. Now, this wasn't always true. Up until 2000, exit polls in the United States were just as accurate as they are everywhere else in the world, and everyone unquestioningly accepted them. But then, we started counting our votes using unauditable electronic voting machines.
Another sun was shining and he knew he was awake. He didn't ever talk about it, he knew he couldn't wait. Are you ever gonna push me up here and let me do? I need it and I'm ready and I haven't got a clue. Any trick is turning up the races in my head. I'm attacking the illusion of the stopping pressing man.
Diebold makes virtually unhackable ATMs for banks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
These ATMs are fully auditable and fully capable of providing a hard copy of all transactions. Yet Diebold claims they cannot make a voting machine that does the same thing.
Somewhere. I'm arriving.
Really?
Every day and every night.
Well, I don't know what is more outrageous. That Diebold would even attempt to make such an insane claim. Or that everyone simply accepts their insane claim at face value. During the 2000 presidential election, the exit polls showed Al Gore winning by a fairly wide margin. But the final results said otherwise. The media took note of the discrepancy and questioned this. They came to the conclusion that the exit polls had suddenly, for some unknown reason, become unreliable. Virtually no one questioned the unauditable electronic voting machines that are owned and manufactured by partisan, for-profit, private companies who use secret proprietary software that it has been proven can be hacked by an accomplished high school student. In other words, our presidential elections are now being determined by rigged voting machines, meaning that this whole insane electoral song and dance is nothing more than a bread and circus distraction. And neither political party is going to do anything about it, since both parties absolutely love being able to rig presidential elections. However, it must be noted that the predetermined winner must win enough actual votes to be able to pull off this scam. And everyone on the left seems to feel that the very idea of a President Trump is so outrageous that it cannot possibly happen. Well, I would suggest otherwise, especially if the Democrats give us Hillary Clinton, the very face of the establishment, during a massive anti-establishment backlash from the American voter. As Thunderbolt listeners know, I feel that the only hope we have for our children to actually experience a future is for Hillary Clinton to be indicted for something. As Thunderbolt listeners also know, I was all over Hillary Clinton's email scam right from the beginning. To refresh your memory, I pointed out at the time that the only possible reason she could possibly have to go to the not inconsiderable expense and hassle of maintaining a private email server was so that she could keep illegal, nasty secrets from the public. There's a lot of noise happening on the Hill about a possible indictment. But to be frank, that is highly unlikely. Hillary Clinton is definitely a one percenter, and everyone knows that it's virtually impossible to ever actually get a one percenter into a courtroom. But we can still pray.
And it's time to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a moment. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. It would appear that the Bernie Sanders campaign is toast, but my sympathy for Bernie supporters is somewhat tempered by the fact that I've been repeatedly warning you from the very beginning that their game is totally rigged and that the Democratic Party was never going to let Bernie Sanders anywhere near that nomination. The question now is, where do we go from here? Most people on the left plan to vote for Hillary Clinton. And their number one, pretty much only, argument for doing so is that Donald Trump is so evil. Now, personally, I find them both to be equally loathsome, if for very different reasons. As far as I know, Donald Trump did not spend several years mass murdering women and children with drones. I don't believe Trump has been destabilizing and sponsoring coups against democratically elected governments and then installing brutal, murderous, fascist police states in their place. Donald Trump, in fact, seems to want to adopt a foreign policy of talking to people and doing business with them rather than bombing the crap out of anyone that makes even the slightest anti-American peep.
Now, I'm not alone in my feeling about this. It would appear that both political parties are choosing candidates that are utterly unacceptable to a large majority of the American public. Maybe their entire charade will finally implode. We can only hope. So when it comes to political strategic thinking, I have been studying and thinking about all of this stuff for several decades now, while most people have not. So I really try to have patience with people who live under these many delusions that have been so systematically implanted into their brains for their entire lives by the media. For instance, people on the left evidently still have not figured out that except for fundraising purposes, it is next to useless to continue pointing out what a complete sucky Donald Trump is. And frankly, I'm sick of hearing people talk about him. Especially since I suspect that in their never-ending efforts to avoid talking about any real issues, this campaign is going to quickly devolve into Trump saying outrageous crap and Clinton responding with telling us why Trump sucks so much for saying that. Yes, Donald Trump is probably one of the most denounceable people to which it had ever been my very great displeasure to be exposed. The thing about denouncing people, though, especially if said denunciation is issued in an angry manner with angry rhetoric, is that more often than not, you are merely providing the target of your ire with attention and free publicity. Every time I see some angry liberal denouncing Trump during an interview, I think of the many millions of people who are laughing all that stuff up with pure delight whilst wearing their Trump t-shirts. Because pissing people off is what gets them off. They love it. Especially if that anger is coming from some BMW liberal. And really especially if that anger is coming from Hillary Clinton. What they hate is people mocking them. Or, even worse, laughing at them. So recently, I heard about an anti-Nazi rally that was happening in Olympia. I suggested to the organizers of this rally that rather than providing these Nazis with the angry attention that they not only welcome but crave, that the protesters should instead obtain a bunch of Hitler mustaches and clown noses for everyone to wear. I also suggested that they have smiling mimes with painted face dressing up as Nazis, running around the crowd, pretending to do all kinds of nasty stuff to people. So I never heard if the organizers of the anti-Nazi rally followed my suggestions or not. But keep this in mind.
the next time the Nazis come to your neighborhood. I just listened to Barack Obama boast of all the terrorists that he has murdered.
She can burn you up in bed just like she said, 'cause she's a hothead, hothead, hothead.
He claimed that he is murdering them because they murdered Americans.
She can throw her fire to show, she can start a fire to go. She's a hothead, hothead, hothead.
As for the accusation that these people murdered Americans, well, that may be so, but since they never had a trial, then we can never really know.
She puts her head into the fire, makes her red hot perspire. She's a hothead, hothead, hothead.
The normally unflappable first charmer uncharacteristically became very animated and enthusiastic.
She was burned before she was born, burning up a storm.
As he recited name after Muslim name after Muslim name, in a lengthy litany
like a flame
of people
to a shame
that he has personally had murdered.
Spin you round and round. Pour you, drink you down. Fire, fire, fire. She's a hothead, hothead, hothead.
However, Mr. Obama did not so much as mention a single one of the names of the many thousands of innocent civilians that he has personally had murdered. And now, even more Americans will be murdered.
She can lick out like a flame.
Because Obama murdered their families. I am surprised that there have been no American wedding parties taken out by a drone yet.
By the burning flame. She can drag you up in bed. I'll coil you up in state, 'cause she's a hothead, hothead, hothead.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is your war on terror in a nutshell. Actually, it could be more accurately described as a war of terror. So here is my question. What makes us any different from them? Other than the fact that we have a much bigger budget anyway. And now, with Hillary Clinton, the true dragon is almost ready to emerge. I once heard Hillary Clinton literally cackling with delight as she jokingly and lightheartedly boasted of murdering Muammar Gaddafi. Well, excuse me, but am I completely alone in thinking that people who treat killing other people with lighthearted jokes are frigging deranged? Whatever. I absolutely, positively do not want such people to have absolutely anything to do with my life in any way, shape, or form whatsoever, howsoever, whensoever, much less running my frigging country. Gee, is everyone frigging insane? Anyway, one positive aspect
to the fact that Hillary Clinton is an amoral monster that cares about absolutely nothing except power is that it makes it very easy to predict what she will do next. Here is my take. Once Bernie is out of the way, then Hillary will be free to completely ignore everyone, both to her left and to her right. I highly suspect that what she is now envisioning is a political coalition of all the right-wingers who hate Trump and all the corporate liberals who force me to counter a gag reflex whenever I hear them talking about what a wonderful president Barack Obama has been.
And who comes here to wish me well? A sweetly scented angel fell. She laid her head upon my disbelief and bathed me with her ever smile. And with a howl across the sand, I go escorted by a band of gentlemen in leather bound. No one but someone to be found.
With Hillary Clinton, Wall Street, of course, will still be firmly in the driver's seat. As soon as Bernie officially concedes, Hillary will depend upon him to keep at least some of the far left in line, while she herself will shift way to the right in order to woo all of those disaffected Republicans. Then, all of the trained idiot children on both sides of the aisle will fall right into the preset trap, and they will either say that they must now vote for Hillary because Trump is so evil, or that they must now vote for Trump because Hillary is so evil. And the thing is that both sides are right. I would personally vote for a pile of dog feces before I would vote for either one of the major candidates. One of the Koch brothers has just joined a long list of other right-wing reactionaries who are already lining up behind Hillary Clinton.
All along me, I see wastes that are faces smiling in the gloom.
Donald Trump, on the other hand, can counter Mrs. Clinton's endorsements with his own endorsement from Kim Jong-il.
Up, roll down, feeling unwound, step into the viewing room.
Who is the nutcase president of North Korea? Yes, kids, the race is on!
The cameras were all around.
Yippee!
Thought you taped your in the plane.
Jeez. Is everyone insane? It's time to get to work now, kids.
And actually, the calendar is temporarily suspended these days, so instead it's time for some music now. This is the Moog Cookbook. Enjoy! That was A Whole Lot of Love. Before that, we had Born to be Wild, both those songs from the Moog Cookbook. I hope you're having as happy a holiday as you can under these lockdown circumstances. This is the last show of the year, and I think a lot of people will be glad to see this year gone. I'm going to take this time I have left now to encourage you to make some donations to some public radio stations, any or all of them, are all in dire financial straits. Or KPFK might actually go off the air, though you seem to hear that every couple of years, but, you know, who knows, maybe this time it's real. So I know times are financially tight for a lot of people, like for me, for instance. But alternative media outlets provide an absolutely vital resource that we absolutely need, now more than ever. So please consider it. You can go to the website of any of the radio stations that air this show. That's it for this week. See you next year. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.